Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And a good morning to you. Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan. Driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Shop all three locations at ShorkeyKia.com. Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates, fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Welcome in Mike DeFabo, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He covers the Penguins for that fine publication. Good morning to you. Mike, how's everything?
Hey, Colin, good to be with you. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm really great. Let me ask you this. Is this a case where the Pittsburgh Penguins simply – I went through – and there were like six guys that played a ton of minutes in the playoffs that were 30 or older. Could they simply just be aging out right now?
Yeah, it was an interesting juxtaposition where Sidney Crosby was his 33rd birthday, and everyone was kind of talking about, you know, what's he going to do on 8-7? Is it going to be some special moment? And instead, it was unfortunately just maybe another reminder that the Penguins' stars and their veteran core is aging. He's 33, Malkin's 34, Letang's 33. I'm not ready to give up on this window. I still think that they have maybe two, three, four more chances to win a cup. Who knows exactly what it is. But the window might not be closed, but it's certainly closing. You know, you can debate how many more years they have left, but it's only a couple more at this point.
Right, and I look at this, and I see it, and I see it, like I've tried to study this morning, and that seems to be the macro issue. It doesn't necessarily mean that you negate all the micro issues, which is, I thought Sullivan got out coached. I thought the third line was terrible. I thought the third defensive pairing was awful. I thought the power play, of course, was ridiculous. Can you fix the micro issues without understanding that the macro issue is what it's going to be? That is to say, the different things need to happen at the micro level, like the power, like Recchi needs to be fired or the power play needs to be fixed, or do you just live with the fact that they're getting old and work around that?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big question this offseason is, do the Penguins fundamentally change their style? Obviously, they were a team built on speed and on skill, and now that some of those older players are getting a little bit slower, do they want to change that philosophy? I'm not sure that they'll dramatically do that because, you know, it's still what won them the two cups, and that's the way the league is trending right now. And they kind of doubled down on that approach. They went out and signed Brandon Tanev. He's a speedy guy. They, you know, went out and got Jason Zucker. He's one of the faster players in the NHL. They went and reacquired Connor Sherry. So they really doubled down on that approach. So I think that they'll still try to continue to get younger, faster, tougher to play against. Those were the three offseason goals last year. I assume that they'll be pretty similar this year, and we'll see if that works. You know, it's tough because, you know, a lot of the issues that the Penguins had and the reasons why they bowed out of the playoffs early last year, they fixed them during the regular season. And if you're looking to give Mike Sullivan a little bit of a pass here, it has to be difficult when they went 4 months without skating. That's longer than any kind of an off season. Then they go into like a 2-week training camp, and then they go into what was kind of a little bit of a crapshoot here. The Penguins weren't the only good team to lose, and the Canadiens weren't the only bad team to advance to this next round of the playoffs. So it's tough because I felt like Mike Sullivan did a nice job this season. He did clean up on the automatic rushes that was such a problem last year. He did have the team playing structured and together and working as a collective unit. But then, you know, when they were thrown into this tournament, you just didn't see any of those things.
Mike DeFabo, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall and Capitis. Did Matt Murray play his final game as a Pittsburgh Penguin?
That's a very fair question, and we're going to find out the answer here pretty soon. But you know, it complicates things that both he and Tristan Jarry are restricted free agents, and then the salary cap was expected to go up somewhere between $86 to $88 million. Now, instead, because of the pandemic, that's what we've been calling our house. because of that, you know, the salary cap is now flat at $81.5 million. So that's going to squeeze the belt a little bit more for the Penguins, give them less wiggle room to work with. You know, I don't know what they'll end up doing. The range of possibilities are they could sign both of them to bridge deals. You know, what I think is a fair possibility is they end up dealing one of them, probably Matt Murray, around the draft. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. I'm not ruling out the possibility that Matt Murray's back, but I also think it's definitely a fair question and worth wondering whether he's played his last game as a Penguin.
Could they trade some players who still have value to get younger right now?
I mean, I guess the biggest name that I guess in theory they could give up would be Letang, would be the biggest star I could see them moving. Although if they did do that, they're probably going to move on from Justin Schultz. Where do they go from the power play? You know, who quarterbacks the power play?
Marino.
I think, you know, yeah, that would be the most obvious answer. But, you know, I'm just not sure then what they have in terms of right-handed depth after that. But at this point, after bowing out of the playoffs twice, in a total back-to-back seasons, in a total of 8 games, I think that everything has to be on the table at this point in terms of big shakeups or roster changes or philosophy changes. I mean, I think that the Penguins are going to have to take a hard look in the mirror and make some tough decisions.
And let me ask you that, as we talk to Mike DeFabo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. This is a great conversation to have. Does Jim Rutherford, because I think what has happened is, Jim Rutherford is known for this maverick kind of guy and to make trades at the deadlines, but there hasn't been really a seismic shift. It's been the constants and the big veins that run throughout this organization for a long time. I think they'll remain for the most part. Is he loath to making more changes than normal, or do you think he'd be okay with that considering this disappointment that just happened?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. We'll have to see. Like you're mentioning, you know, Jim Rutherford has brought in a number of big name players. Phil Kessel, comes to mind as one of the top of the list. You know, Patrick Hornquist was a great move that he made. He went on really a great run bringing in players, but he's never really dealt a big name. You know, yes, he gave up Phil Kessel last offseason, but it felt like his time kind of had passed, his expiration date had arrived. So that's going to be the question, whether he wants to really fundamentally shake things up. You know, last offseason there were reports that he considered maybe getting rid of Malkin or Letang. I'm not sure how really serious he was about that, how long those discussions really happened, whether he was really out there shopping them or whether he was more so saying something like that to rattle their cage a little bit. But you do wonder what's going to happen this offseason. With the salary cap, with the results, I think everything has to probably be on the table at this point.
Let me ask you this. I'm looking at, you went to American University, right?
I did, yes. A proud American Eagle, that's right.
Do you have any wild stories of diplomats' kids just being able to do whatever they want? Because I have some friends who went to American, and they have wild stories of like the consulate guy from Bosnia's daughter just being able to do whatever. You have any stories like that?
I don't, but the one thing that was pretty cool is we would go trick-or-treating at the embassies. So you would, like, go up and down, and the French embassy would be giving you French chocolates, or, you know, Swedish embassy would be giving you some Swiss food and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool for sure. But, you know, I don't know. It sounds like I should have become friends with those guys because they could have probably helped get me out of trouble more than once.
Yes, that, and they said for, like, the breaks, right? Like Thanksgiving break, Christmas break, you know, spring break, whatever. The cars would come pick up a couple of these kids, and they would legitimately have the little, like, the diplomat plates, but the little flags up on the, like, you'd see, like, coming to America. They'd have the little flags on the hoods of these cars. How about that move?
Yeah, it was an interesting place for sure because there were a lot of international students. My roommate came from Cote d'Ivoire. My freshman year, and his name was Billy, And I basically like taught him English. I had to apologize to his parents and stuff for all of his swear words because I was responsible for basically teaching him his English. So that was a bad move on my part. But he's still a great friend to this day, a really good friend to this day.
Billy, yes, from Côte d'Ivoire. Last thing for you. Are you for or against? This gets lost in a lot of stuff, and it's just not a throwaway question, but one not germane to the playoffs. Are you for or against the NHL players playing in the Olympics? And do we just not understand it, some of us who are against it, because of how prideful it is in Canada, maybe?
Yeah, so it's a difficult issue, and I understand both sides of it. So as a part of this new collective bargaining agreement, they will be playing in the Olympics. And I guess the argument against it is it really does disrupt the season. It's especially where they have it. And then, you know, you don't want Sidney Crosby going and getting injured by playing in the Olympics and then what happens to your Stanley Cup chances, that kind of thing. But I guess the way I see it is hockey is a sport that in Pittsburgh it's number one or number two in this city. But, I mean, you go to ESPN.com, you have to click on the additional tab that has, like, you know, fencing and golf and, you know, women's soccer to get to the NHL. Like, it's not considered one of the major sports. So I think that the NHL is in a position where it needs to do everything it can to promote itself. And why not try to get on a national television audience and get people excited by putting all the stars together? I mean, Sidney Crosby has great memories of winning the gold medal, and I have great memories of watching that Olympics as well. So I think that it's a great way to promote the sport, something the players like and something that they fight for all the time to have happen. So I'm a fan of it, and I'm glad that the players are going to be playing in the next Olympics.
Mike DeFabo, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Proud. Is it? Oh, one more question. Latrobe or Latrobe?
Well, okay, so I'll say this. I guess Arnold Palmer said it one way, Mr. Rogers said it the other, but if you go to a Latrobe high school football game, the cheerleaders say, we say Latrobe, you say Wildcat. So I'm going with the cheerleaders here on this one. It's Latrobe.
You can never go wrong going with the cheerleaders as a 17- and 18-year-old young man, by the way, Mike DeFabo. Those are the great lessons learned in high school. I always like Latrobe High School because when you play them in basketball, they still wear, like, the Indiana candy stripe warm-up pants. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. And they also have back behind the basket, they have the Wildcat Den, which is, like, our version of the Oakland Zoo. And back when I was in high school, I was the leader of that. So I was kind of like getting people fired up, the theme nights, and talking trash on the other team. I even have a story that I'll tell you off the air sometime about our homecoming queen slapping some guy in the face after a basketball game because things were getting a little heated and the trash talk escalated too much. So definitely some good memories at Latrobe High.
Look at this. All right, great stuff. Mike, I thank you so very much. We'll chat again soon.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks so much, Colin.
Absolutely. Mike DeFabo, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, does a great job covering the Penguins.